Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Hi, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl Podcast, Conversations from the Heart. I am speaking to you today from the most vulnerable place. If I sound a little stuffy or sniffly, it's because I spent the entire morning crying. Raise your hand if you're having emotional days these days. Raise your hand if you're having an emotional life. Good, means you're a human being. Yeah, I'm feeling very vulnerable, very soft. My heart is totally open. Yeah, I have no big plan for this podcast. Literally, I just spent the morning crying and decided that maybe now is a good time to speak. I took a deep breath, turned on the mic, you know, and realized right away that I have this deck of oracle cards, of angel cards, oracle cards. If you've ever worked with those, brand new that I just received, and it was sitting on the little table next to my podcast area. And I thought, you know what? Why not pick a card right now? I've never done that on the podcast before, I think. No, I haven't. So I'm going to take a couple of moments right now to shuffle these cards. If you hear this sound in the back, it's me shuffling this deck for the first time. For me, working with oracle cards, I do that a lot, and I have decks that I've had for like 13, 14 years. I use them for retreats and trainings. I use them in my regular practice. I like to use them for big new chapters of life. Sometimes I'll pull a card for a yoga class that I'm going to teach, you know. And just through law of attraction, you know, knowing that we get what we need. So even though I'm pulling this card today, it's Thursday. This podcast is out tomorrow on Friday. When you listen to this, this card that we're about to collectively channel together is the card that we all need. And I really, really believe in that. I've seen that so true. I've been pulling cards every time I do a live yoga class on yogagirl.com. We have twice a week live sessions on the platform. And every time I pull a card, and every time it's like a smack to the heart. You know, it's just so always somehow exactly how we need. Do you ever feel when you listen to this podcast, whether you've just found your way here or if you've been listening for years, if you've heard me blabber on and rant and share and cry on this show for so long, sometimes people ask me, so what's your podcast about? And I'm like, yeah, good question. Let me get back to you on that one. This podcast, it is what it sounds like. It's just me sharing from the heart, right? But do you ever have, and I know a lot of you feel this way, those moments where I touch on something on this show and I'm sharing an experience that's personal to me and something inside of you goes, oh man, me too. I feel that. Or have you ever had a moment of like almost shock? Like, I can't believe she's sharing this thing. That's exactly what I've been pondering. That's where I am at. That's this feeling I've had, the realization I've had. You know, it's like we are all so absolutely connected. It is this great, great spiritual teaching, the wisdom of knowing that we are actually all one, that separation is an illusion, thinking that we're all separate from each other. It's like we are all one big organism. And when one of us is hurting, we all feel it, right? When one of us is uplifted, we all feel it. We are all so connected. And our journey on this in this life is making our way back to that place of remembering, knowing that we are all one, right? When we are living from that place of oneness, it's impossible to not practice loving kindness all the time. Because we'll know, you know, when I'm hurting the other person, I'm hurting myself. When I'm hurting Mother Earth by not taking care of this planet, I'm hurting myself. Not just indirectly, directly. Like, that's how it works. So let's take a couple of breaths. This card, this deck that I have here is a Divine Feminine deck. So it's goddess cards, all different kinds of goddesses that bring their own energies and teachings and lessons. So maybe you are right now also feeling very vulnerable. How beautiful would that be if you're sensing this softness to your heart? You know, it's a good thing. Sometimes it's a scary place to be, to feel really vulnerable, right? We're not kind of used to walking through life that way. Life oftentimes makes us hard, makes us firm, makes us guard ourselves, always trying to protect our hearts. When we get to have these prolonged moments of vulnerability, it can feel too sensitive sometimes, right? Almost scary. Like, oh, I'm feeling so much. My heart is on my sleeve. Here's my heart. Like, that's how I feel today. It's like I pulled my heart out of my chest a little bit and I'm holding it up to the world. Like, here's my heart. Don't hurt it. Please don't hurt it. So whatever space you're in, right? Whether you're feeling vulnerable or emotional or not, it's all okay. Just close your eyes, tap into the breath, listen to the sound of me shuffling this deck. Start to tap into your inhale, your exhale. And just noticing, if you really bring your attention and awareness to your heart center right now, how are you doing? How's your heart today? Did anybody ask you that today, this week, this month, this year, this life? Hey, how's your heart? How's your heart today? What do you have going on? What are you feeling? What's moving today? Right? Every day is a different day. Whew. So just giving yourself a moment right here to allow what's present. And whatever wants to come through, sometimes when we really close our eyes and we tap in and we listen, it's like something has been longing to be brought to surface, right? It's like your heart has been asking you to get present with something, but sometimes it's scary to go there, so we don't, right? Or sometimes it requires us to feel really stable, really safe, slow down. Maybe we feel like we don't have the time. We don't feel supported enough to go there, so we look the other way. We shut down instead of open up. Maybe right now, as you're really present with your heart, giving yourself a chance to really go there, to feel. You can even place your hands to your heart right now just to increase that connection to your own heart space. And just breathe there for a moment. See what wants to come through. See what's been longing to be brought to surface. And just spend a moment here holding your own heart. Just now as I was shuffling the deck, usually that happens, I'll be shuffling and then my hands just stop moving. Sometimes I can hear almost like a very loud stop from within, and then I stop shuffling. Now my hands just kind of dropped. So I think the card that's at the top of the deck is our card of the day. Our card of the week, maybe our card for this new chapter in our lives, right? So let's take let's bring some energy into our bodies. Let's take a huge breath in. Open the mouth, let it out. You can blink your eyes open if you like. Here's our card. Wow. Okay, I've pulled a goddess that I have never heard of, that I have never seen. Okay, this is a brand new deck. I've never worked with this deck before, so obviously a lot of this is going to be new. How do I even find... I'm like going through this little book. How do I find the people? Where are they? Oh, there's a little content section here. They're not in alphabetical order. Page 121. Okay, the goddess that we channeled just now, and if I'm not pronouncing this right, don't let me know later because I'll learn on my own. Yeshi Sogyal. Sogyal. Tsogil or Tsogyal. Yeshi Tsogyal. It's the Lady of the Lotus Born. Lady of the Lotus Born. Embodiment is the deepest bliss. My body was made for enlightenment. Yeshi represents a deep wisdom that has been much misunderstood. She is the ultimate spiritual wisdom that the human body is all that is needed for enlightenment. Yeshi was born a princess in Tibet, 777 CE. According to legends, she was born in the same way as the Buddha. A mantra resounded and her mother gave birth to her painlessly. Her name means Wisdom Lake Queen because at the moment of her birth, a nearby lake doubled in size, symbolizing her tremendous wisdom, her waters of enlightenment. From a young age, Yeshi only wanted to practice the Dharma instead of getting married. Okay, I love her. Who resonates with that? From a young age, Yeshi only wanted to practice the Dharma instead of getting married. But the emperor of Tibet gave her to Padmasambhava, who had traveled to Tibet from India to spread the Buddha's teachings. He became her main consort and husband, and together they each founded their own lineages of Buddhist teachings. Sorry that I'm like butchering this whole reading. I could be doing a better job. She spent many years isolated in meditation and accomplished several cycles of tantric spiritual practices. She received esoteric initiations and became known as a fully enlightened Buddha in the form of an ordinary woman. There's no such thing as an ordinary woman. Come on. She's also considered to be an incarnation of Vairagyogini. And her husband predicted that she would reincarnate as the legendary Tibetan Buddhist tantric teacher and yogini, Mashig Labran. When your soul selects her card, okay, here is where this relates to where we are. When your soul selects her card, it can be so easy to forget that everything we touch, everything we say, and everything we do is not separate from the divine. Yeshi embodied one of the most potent spiritual truths. The female body is an asset to enlightenment, not a hindrance. Oh, I'm going to read that sentence again. The female body is an asset to enlightenment, not a hindrance. The body is a vehicle to free us from the idea that there are any limitations to reality. Tantra, which weaves together the sacred and the mundane to reveal the spiritual nature of all things, allowed Yeshi to realize that she was both an ordinary woman and an incarnation of the Buddha. We are both human and divine. We are both a mortal body and an eternal essence that continues on. The body too often can be the scapegoat for so much hate, distrust, and violence. The body holds infinite wisdom, pleasure, and possibilities. Oh, how beautiful is this? This is the moment to see your gorgeous body as the tremendous gift it is. It's the moment to realize that there is no greater intoxication than just being fully in your body, from head to soul. Yeshi is the call to remember the holiness of your flesh, the deep wisdom your body contains, and the temple you walk around in every day. Soul voice meditation. What helps me remember that my body is sacred? Oh, let's just ask ourselves that question right now. What helps me remember that my body is sacred? Intention. Embodiment is the deepest bliss. My body was made for enlightenment.
What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at hero.co.
Wow, you guys, what helps me remember that my body is sacred? Let's take a moment right there just before we move on. Right now, what helps you remember that your body is sacred? I feel this so deeply. What are those practices that you have in your daily life? Those moments, those big pieces of your day, you know, where you just remember that actually my body is the most sacred thing. Those moments that you have where you're not looking at your body from the outside, where you're not judging your body, disapproving of your body, or hating on your body, but where you actually get to be embodied, right? Where you get to live from this body and just experience life from the body. Where you get to actually remember that your body is so, so sacred. Oh, immediately my big moment of how I resonate. For me, first of all, helps me remember that my body is sacred, any kind of movement that allows me to be right here, right? So there's different kinds of movement. And usually for me, it's not so much what I'm doing or how I'm moving my body, but it's the intention of how I got there, right? And I've had a couple of weeks, like the past 2 weeks, really challenging 2 weeks around my body and my body awareness. I have been super judgmental toward my body. I've really been, in a different way, actually, the past couple of weeks, looking at my body from the outside, judging it. I've gained some weight. I have some quarantine pounds. I never normally step on a scale, like never. I did for some reason a couple of months ago, maybe end of the year, last year. I don't know. Dennis has a scale, so when he trains for Ironman, like he gets really into like where he's at, you know, in terms of, I don't know why it's important, but for him it is. And for me, I kind of make it a point of like, I don't need to know how much I weigh. That is not helpful for me, right? It's not. And I've had moments where I felt super good in my body and then stepped on a scale and then have the number reflect something back at me and then immediately gone into like, oh my God, actually my body's horrible. Oh my God, actually I'm super overweight. Actually I'm fat. Actually I'm not good enough, right? But I felt good before that. So it's kind of how we're so indoctrinated to believe that we have to be slim, we have to be thin, we have to be toned, we have to be shapely, we have to look a certain way, right? And then it's so strong, that conditioning, that I'll have moments where I feel so good and then something reflects back at me and I lose it completely, like the number on a scale. Like, oh, that number does not coincide with what I have been taught a beautiful body should weigh. Thus, my body must be ugly. Thus, I'm not good enough. Thus, you know, it's like starts that whole loop of self-hate, of everything that's the opposite of self-love and loving our bodies the way they are or the way it is. And the past couple of weeks, I've had those moments, right? So I stepped on a scale, I don't know, sometime last year. So I had kind of a framework of like más o menos where I was. And then the 2 weeks ago, like for some reason, like I found the scale, or I don't know how I came across it or where the ID even came from, like interesting. And I stepped on the scale to check and I've gained 8 kilos since the last time I was on that scale. Now, I don't know if that happened in the last like only in quarantine, or if it's since, you know, December or whenever that was, if it's over half a year, if it's been really short. But 8 kilos, I don't know if you know in pounds, let me find out. Okay, thank you, Google. So 8 kilos is 17 pounds. And so even sharing this with you right now, and I've shared everything on this podcast. I have cried. I have shared grief. I have shared insecurities, anxieties, everything. Even sharing this right now, I can sense myself going into a place of shame. And it's interesting to do that consciously and to just allow myself to talk about this and to be open and to recognize that, oh, I feel ashamed sharing this. And it's and I can sense it really heavy, actually. Like it's heavy inside my body, that feeling of gaining weight as a woman is shameful. And we've been told that our entire lives, right? Everything that we've been through our entire lives since we were little girls, we've been told that our bodies are meant to look a certain way. And weight gain is one of the most shameful things that can ever happen to a woman, right? We see it especially, you know, and I grew up, like when I was a teenager, I read a lot of celebrity magazines. That was like one of the things I loved when I was like 13, 14, 15. I loved getting those really gossipy, like the worst magazines, the ones that are plastered with photos on the front page of like celebrities who have been caught not looking great. You know, celebrities that have been caught with cellulite or that have been caught with stomach rolls or gaining weight and really being mocked, right, for being human, for having those bodies. And I remember reading those magazines at a really young age. I don't know how that habit started or like where it's just, I don't know. I think I would go grocery shopping with my dad and he would always get the newspaper and I would like grab some whatever magazines were in the stands. And it became like this thing. It was like watching a movie or something, like very entertaining. And I remember that feeling of like, oh my God, I cannot believe that this woman, like this actress, whoever that was, who is normally so beautiful, has let herself go, you know. And it would be a picture of her like looking like a human being, right? Not like an actress. And just reading those messages, you know, that we were bombarded with our entire life, like it did something to us. And it's really important to honor and acknowledge that that is present in me still today, right? And I can have months at a time, long stretches of time where I feel really good in my body, where I don't hate on my body, where, you know, where my body is a place where I reside, where I live, where I experience life from. And then I'll drop into these places where all of a sudden I feel like my body is not okay, right? And it's hard for me to share right now that, okay, I've gained 17 pounds during this quarantine and not drop into a cycle of shame. Like, oh my God, I am horrible. Like how unlovable must I be? How ugly must I be right now? How terrible must my body actually look? Ugh, like who lets themselves go that way? You know, so I want to allow myself to take a breath and, you know, practice what I preach right now, which is obviously, you know, this mega important space of it's okay to be a human being, you know, what we've been through. And it's also like, I don't want to even go down the road of having the conversation with myself, let alone on a podcast, talking about weight gain as if it needs to be justified, right? And I've seen a lot of that on social media. Like it's quarantine, of course. You know, it's been a disaster. It's been the apocalypse. Everyone has been grieving. It's been crisis mode. You know, it's like if you end up at the end of this quarantine and you weigh a little more, like you're the lucky one. Like of course, like all that whole narrative. Like it's an important one. But for me to even feel like I need to justify the fact or even touch on or talk about that my body has changed when it changes. It's like, I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to live a life where my body is so important, what my body looks like is so important that it justifies a whole podcast. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to live life that way where weight gain matters, even the slightest. And getting this card right now just really kind of brought to surface for me how, yeah, I have spent the past couple of weeks, I've been super hard on myself. I have had moments where I walk past the mirror and I look at myself and I'm like, oh, okay. And I've started thinking to myself, okay, well, we're going to reintegrate back to society now. I need to do something about this. Like I need to move a little more, probably need to drink a little less, less end of day quarantine wine, less end of day quarantine bag of chips, like all those kind of habits where I've been for the past months, like absolutely been there. And listening to this, what helps me remember that my body is sacred? I just want to take a deep breath with that for a moment. Because it brings me right to a place where even as adults, you know, even as mature women, you know, listening to this podcast right now, how we go round and round in our heads with the idea of self-love, right? And it's kind of this thing that it can stay in a mind level almost. It can stay on the level of the mind of when I have those thoughts and I look at myself in the mirror like, oh man, okay, I need to stop eating chips at the end of the day. Like that's my big thing. I need to stop doing that. Oh. And then maybe I'll drink some more green juice and then maybe I'll do some more yoga classes and then I'll feel better, right? But anytime we approach it from that point, which even in itself is much more positive than the traditional, oh, I got to diet right now, or, you know, it's like, it's very similar, that feeling. And I can sense myself going there. It's like wrapped in a veil of self-love, body love. Like I'll just do more yoga. I'll drink more green juice. This whole idea, it's the same. It's very, 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 very closely related to I need to diet and get on the treadmill and lose weight, right? That idea versus I'm going to do more yoga and drink more green juice, because it's rooted in the idea that my body should change, right? And whether I take the softer, more quote unquote loving approach of green juice and yoga, or if I take the approach of dieting and, you know, treadmill or whatever, for me, the idea of the treadmill, I think because that's what I did when I was a teenager. I would like be on the treadmill, looking at the calorie button on the treadmill, like how many calories did I burn, looking at myself in the mirror with my jaw clenched. Like that was like my thing when I went into this body hating kind of place. It's not for everyone. Some people, you know, and I have moments now where I really enjoy running on the treadmill and I have no idea how long or how many calories I burned or whatever. But those two things, right? Dieting versus I'm going to do more yoga and drink more green juice, they are rooted in the same place. And that place is, it's not okay for me to gain weight, right? That place is when my body gets softer, when I become a little larger, when my reflection in the mirror isn't what I've been told or it's supposed to be, or where it doesn't resonate or reflect with my idea and society's idea of what a body should be, right? Then it must immediately change. Like it's, do you see how closely linked that is? One of them is just has this kind of quasi-spiritual approach of, but if I do it through yoga, right? If I do it through green juice, if I do it through meditating a little more, if I do it through eating more organic foods, if I do it through so-and-so, you know, it's still rooted in the idea that the body should change. It still is. And I can sense myself going down that road of like, oh, it's okay, okay. And I start like juicing a little bit more. And yes, juicing is good. Obviously, juicing is good. Yoga obviously is good, right? All of these things are good. Being on the treadmill can be super good too. Like all of these things in itself is not bad, but it's how we approach it, right? The moment I switch from, oh, I want to do yoga because it makes me feel at home, right? It makes me come back home to myself. It makes me feel good. The moment I go from that approach to, I'm going to do some more yoga this week because I gained 17 pounds. Can you sense the difference in approach, like the difference in motivation and how the same practice can go from being this very nurturing, loving place to be to something actually quite harmful? Actually, when I decide to do more yoga, to practice more asana because I stepped on a scale and because that scale told me that I gained some weight, like that in itself is a really dangerous road to go down. And I don't want to do it. But at the same time, not acknowledging it, which is kind of what I've been doing for the past 2 weeks. It's like I've had these judgmental thoughts about my body. I even had a thought the other day like, ooh, it would be nice to put on some jeans. But then I like chose to not put on jeans because I know they're not going to fit well. And I was like, I don't really want to have that experience, you know? So let's just not do the jeans right now. Okay. It's okay. And even just going down that road of like, okay, I'm not going to think about this. If it's there inside of me, right? If that kind of judgment toward me, self-hate, thinking that there's something about me that's innately wrong, right? If it's present inside of me, it's going to be there no matter what. It's going to come up no matter what. So maybe that's why this moment where I was feeling vulnerable and raw and somehow, you know, we channeled this card that I get to share with you. Hey, my name is Rachel. I just gained 17 pounds and that brings me shame. Just tasting that for a moment, like, okay.
Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off.
And obviously, you know, for each of us, we have different things relating to our body that bring us different levels of shame, right? But the fact that shame and the body, it's so innately connected. It absolutely is. And for me, you know, when I look at these past months, like, yeah, how much more time I've been spent on the couch, obviously, you know, it being isolation and quarantine, not being able to leave the house. We have naturally moved less because we don't have that regular rhythm of moving. There's all of these reasons why. And to me, that matters less. Like, it's actually less interesting. Why? It's not like, you know, to justify. Like, it's okay. It's okay. You gained some weight now, but it makes sense. You've been worried. You've been on the couch. You haven't been able to be out and about. It's okay. You know, it's like the global pandemic validates your weight gain. So you don't have to beat yourself up so much. Well, why do I have to beat myself up in the first place? Why am I even going down that road of validating my weight gain? Why can it not be just okay to look however you look? Why does it automatically have to be related to something shameful and something bad? You know, like that's the conversation that's more interesting for me. And what makes me remember that my body is sacred, you know, not any of those practices that stem from the place, yeah, my body isn't good enough. And I think right now I am experiencing more anxiety because, you know, it's one thing to like be unhealthy or quote unquote unhealthy or unhealthier or gain weight, you know, when you're alone, when you're in isolation and no one can see you. And now it's like we are reintegrating back into the world. And now I can sense that self-hate, that judgment come back up because all of a sudden it's like other people are going to see that I gained weight. Oh my God, is there anything more awful than that? You know, being seen in our shame. And the practices that help me feel, remind myself or remind me that my body is sacred, I have so many of them. So it's funny how these things can all coexist because at this time of this quarantine, it's also the time where I have felt better in myself. I have felt better in my body than I think I have in my entire life. You know, not counting these last 2 weeks of suddenly stepping on that scale and suddenly realizing just how much weight I gained. Then all of a sudden I stopped feeling good, right? So for me to get totally clear with my personal situation now, like these months, I have moved at a slower pace than I have in my entire life in every way, right? Not just in terms of exercise, but in every way. My relationships, in my working life, with my child, with my husband, everything in my life has slowed down, and it's been the most beautiful experience of my life. It absolutely has, you know. Put all the fear and all the anxiety of the pandemic and all the loss and the global everything, put that aside. But the experience of being home, moving slowly with my family, has been one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. And in my body, I have felt really good all this time. I've felt really good. And it's not like I've been, unbelievably unhealthy. Like, absolutely not. Like, I'm gardening, harvesting, and enjoying my own organic vegetables. I've been cooking 3 meals a day from scratch, plant-based meals, you know. I've also been baking a lot. It's been delicious and amazing. I've also been on the couch drinking wine with my husband a lot. It's been delicious and amazing. Right? It's like I've had a lot of enjoyment these past couple of months. And it's so funny to me how, like, literally, I've had moments where, you know, I kind of look at myself in the mirror and suddenly, like, my butt is a little rounder. My boobs are bigger. Like, I have, like, areas where I've kind of noticed, but I've felt celebrate. Like, I've been able to feel like I can celebrate that. Like, oh, like, I really enjoy my body right now. And I have a husband who, like, if you know Dennis, you know this about him, but who showers me with compliments every moment of the day. This is just who he is. Like, I'll walk past him and he'll just look at me and go, like, that is just who he is. Sometimes to the point of it, like, annoying me. Like, he's very affectionate, you know, and I've really felt really sexy. Like, I felt really good in my body. And then all of a sudden, right, I step on that scale. I realize, oh my God, it's not like I gained a kilo or two. Like, I gained 8. All right. Alrighty-o, this is probably the heaviest I've ever been, you know, aside from when I was pregnant. Oh my God. Okay. Cue judgment. Cue self-hate. Cue shame. Cue suddenly not feeling good. And also cue thinking about my body all day long, which I haven't done, right? And I've had a lot of movement over these past couple of months. I've been practicing so much yoga, especially since I moved this big bed out of our guest room, which has now become I'm calling it my goddess tower. I have this whole room filled with space. I'm on my mat every single day. I've been doing some really cool, like, high intensity workouts. I've been taking the class a lot, which I love. I've been running. I've been doing a lot of fun stuff. Gardening like crazy. Like, I have been moving my body a lot in different ways and felt really good. And when I read that sentence, what reminds me that my body is sacred? All those moments of movement reminds me that my body is sacred. And I've had so many experiences of, like, having dance parties with Lea Luna in the kitchen, or shaking, like my shaking meditations that I also do in this room, or any of those kinds of movement opportunities that I've had where I am just so present in my body, where I can just let go and be in my body. And there's no judgment. There's no looking at my body from the outside. There's not a single thought about my body not being perfect right now and every moment of the day. And it's been fucking amazing. Those, like, this whole time. So what if, and this is, like, an interesting approach, I think, for all of us, because I know, trust me, I know, there is not, and this is not just go for women. Like, I know this applies for men too. This is, like, you know, like, body dysmorphia, having this skewed, messed up view of the body, hating our bodies, trying to constantly change and alter and improve our bodies. Like, it's an epidemic and it's everywhere, and it goes for men too. But of course, speaking from the viewpoint of a woman and knowing that this is particularly pushed toward women, like, it's worse and harder for women, more accepted for men to gain weight. And we, I think we have much higher this idea of being thin and perfection and all of this. It's really, really hard for women. But, you know, just for all of us, acknowledging, number one, there's not a woman out there that doesn't think these thoughts. And that's a big one for me, actually, because I kind of sometimes I get lost in the idea that everyone else feels good in their bodies all the time. No one else worries about weight gain. No one else feels fat or feels ugly. And actually, everybody goes through those moments. Some people all the time, like, some people have that voice of, I'm not good enough, all day, every day, right? And, you know, that's a really important thing to remember, and talking about this with our friends, even though it's shameful, and not in that sense of like, you know, like talking about our bodies all the time, obsessing over our bodies all the time. I did that growing up. All my friends did that growing up, of like, oh, I'm so ugly, or oh, I can't believe this doesn't fit me, or oh, does my butt look big in this? Like, that constant talk about the body is not helpful for anybody. But the genuine, real moments of being able to open up and like, hey, I feel shame. Like, that's a different conversation, right? Not looking at the body from the outside, talking about it constantly, but going into the heart space of it. Like, hey, I feel shame. I feel shame around my body. Actually, I feel lesser than. I feel like I feel unworthy. I feel less lovable. I feel like something's wrong with me. You know, those kinds of really heartfelt conversations where we get to share from that place of feeling are super helpful, because it breaks down the barrier, right? It's like we're trying to keep shame at bay all the time, but then shame just grows. It's like everything we keep in the dark grows and becomes worse and feels worse. The moment we expose, you know, actually, I feel really insecure here. Actually, I feel really ashamed. Actually, this for me is so hard. It's like we bring some light to that part of ourselves that feels so heavy and so hard to carry. And it's like the body can take a breath, you know? And also when we share with people that we trust and feel safe with, it's also really validating knowing that we are not alone in this. I had two of my best friends here on the island over yesterday, and we had a moment to just like talk about that from that place, not from that place of like, oh my God, I gotta get back. I gotta start working out. But just like, yeah, you know, this has been hard for me, and here's how I feel right now. It felt so good. It felt so good knowing that actually them in their isolation, they're having the same thoughts as me. They're having the same worries, the same concerns, the same moments of judging themselves in that way, you know. And then that collective vibration of like, hey, look how fucking beautiful and amazing we are right now and every day. And that this whole idea that our worth is defined by what that number on the scale says, it's so messed up. And that's where our work should be, is changing the brain versus changing the body, changing the conditioning, the mind stuff, right? That's what I want to change. I want to change not, okay, hey, let me lose 17 pounds right now. Like, okay, I could go down that route, sure. Like, I could kill myself and go into that super, super, super negative, heavy, self-hating road of, I got to lose 17 pounds. I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. I know if I went down that road, it would overcloud my entire life. It would lessen my quality of life, my sense of well-being, my ability to feel joy and gratitude and beauty. Like, it would make all of my life so much worse. And we all know, you know, diets don't work. And even if, you know, I would go ahead and lose those 17 pounds, I'm still going to have that same voice in the back of my head, because I didn't do anything to address the voice. I just addressed the body, right? Which is kind of what we've been taught to. It's like, oh, I feel like something's wrong. I got to fix it from the outside. So let me get on that treadmill with my jaw clenched, you know, staring at the calorie number on the screen. It doesn't work, right? Doesn't heal me. Doesn't bring me any healing in any way. And I can look if I look back at my past and I think about myself at my absolute thinnest, has also been some of my most miserable moments in life. If I look at my life as like a scientific study, you know, do my thinner points in my life correlate to my most fulfilled and happy moments? No, they do not. Like, I have seen no proof so far in my life that being thin makes me happy. Like, that alone should tell me a lot. That alone, like, could teach me a lot, really, that actually whatever shape my body has or whatever number that scale says isn't the direct highway to eternal happiness and enlightenment at all, in any way. Maybe it doesn't even relate at all. Like, that's an interesting question, you know, like, does it relate at all? Now, there's one thing, of course, feeling healthy, right? Feeling whole, feeling like I'm taking care of myself, right? Like, that's one thing. Which doesn't mean that we need to go into that place of like, you know, there's wait, how do I pronounce it? Orthorexia, I think, is the word, where we get so obsessed with health to the point of it actually becoming an eating disorder, right? Where it becomes something that that really doesn't help us in life, right? It becomes an actual issue. It's super, super, super common. So for me, taking care of myself just means feeling good, you know? And it's that, like, I can drink the wine and I can eat the chips and I can also move my body a lot and drink green juice and feel really good doing things that make me feel good, right? Nourishing my body in different ways. And if I look back at these months, like, have I been unhealthy in terms of how I've taken care of my body? No. This is, like, really important for me to I need to hammer this into my brain. Have I been unhealthy? I have not. I have not been unhealthy. I have not treated myself in a bad way. Actually, I haven't. What's bad, I think the one thing I did that probably didn't serve me was stepping on that scale. Like, if I can go back over these months of quarantine, would I choose to, like, not eat the chips, not bake the bread, not eat the chocolate cake, whatever? No, I would go back and choose to not step on that scale in the first place, because then probably I would be sitting here today still feeling good about my body, blissfully unaware that I had gained 17 pounds, just feeling fine. And I think this is an interesting question to pose to ourselves, like, really. And not just once in a while, but all the time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What are the practices that I have in my life that reminds me that my body is sacred? And when I get into that place of self-judgment and self-hate, how can I take a breath, come back to one of those practices immediately? Like, it needs to be the immediate gut response where, oh, here I am again going down that cycle of, my body isn't good enough. I won't be accepted. I'm fat. Everyone will know. Oh my God, shame is here. How can I move toward one of those practices, right? Whether it's movement, whether it's meditation, whether it's being outside, whether it's time spent with the family, maybe journaling, maybe therapy, music, like any of the resources that bring you back to your body. And for me, it really is free forms of movement, movement that allows me to express myself here now. Like, that really, really works. The shaking meditations work so well for me. We have a live one every Friday on yogagirl.com if you ever want to join. But dance parties, like a 5-minute dance party, like those kinds of things, just moving a little bit reminds me immediately. The moment I'm in the body, I can no longer judge the body. The moment I'm living in my body and experiencing life from my body, I can no longer hate my body. It's impossible. You cannot hate what you reside in. You cannot hate what is your life, right? It's impossible for the ego and the mind to step in there and cloud your experience and skew your experience when you're totally present here now, you know? So how can I, when I get down that spiral, when I go down that dangerous place, because it is a dangerous place, we need to acknowledge that. It is a really dangerous place to be, to go down that road of not approving of ourselves, right? Of judging ourselves, of going down the road of, oh my God, I'm gonna diet now. It's not a harmless little thing that we do, right? It's going down the road of self-hate and maybe even self-harm, maybe even self-sabotage. Maybe it becomes the thing that keeps you from experiencing the beauty and the bliss that is this life, right? How many hours a day do you spend thinking about your body or thinking about what you eat or thinking about how you're not good enough? You know, ideally, there should be no time wasted in a day spent in that futile place. But for many of us, for me, the past 2 weeks, it's been a lot of time, like a lot of time. And I can just sense how it's a really hard, once you climb down that pit, it's really hard to get out. So instead of going down the road of, okay, I got to change the body, let's do that diet, right? Let's start going down the road of, hey, let me do that practice again that reminds me that my body is sacred. Let me live in the body, come back to the body here now. And then from that place, let's change those thoughts, right? Let's go into that conditioned place and look for healing. Instead of, let me change my body, let me fix my body so it will be more accepted, so it will be better. Okay, let me address this. Like, this is what I want to address. hey, here's that trigger again. Okay, I stepped on the scale. Wow, 17 pounds. Man, that's a lot. Oh, that's not okay. That's not okay. I'm not okay anymore. Okay. Okay, let's address those thoughts. Where do they come from, right? How closely related is my sense of worthiness in this life with what my body looks like from the outside? And how can I get back to a place where I can just live in my body, where my body is just this beautiful home that I return to again and again, where I actually reside, where I experience everything that life has to offer? That's it. That's really it. And it doesn't fucking matter if my jeans fit me today. Doesn't fucking matter what the scale says today. Doesn't even fucking matter if other people comment, right? And that's like, we all live in different varying degrees of challenge here. You know, I have a husband who tells me every day, I honestly think, you know, if when I gain weight, like for Dennis, he's like, oh, there's more. And he genuinely believes that. Like he genuinely loves me regardless of what's there. And he will always truthfully share that. So of course that's helpful. But imagine if you have someone at home who negatively comments on your body. A lot of people have that. I had that growing up too, you know. I had that cautioning from parents, from people, from teachers. If my body changed, it's like, uh-oh, you know, be careful there. You don't want to become unlovable. Careful there. Shrink a little bit. Make yourself smaller. I've been reading Untamed by Glennon Doyle, and she talks about it so heartbreakingly beautiful in her book, how as women, it's like we've been told to shrink ourselves and shrink ourselves and shrink ourselves until the point of almost disappearing. And then what then? Then am I worthy? When you can barely see me, when I'm not even here anymore, I shrunk myself to the point of not being visible. It's like, it's been so hard for us to actually claim space and take up space. And that I feel like now, if I look back at these couple of months in terms of growth, you know, if losing weight and dieting and trying to be smaller and thinner and, you know, have a narrower frame and we're shrinking ourselves, if that means that we're also shrinking ourselves in every way of life, right? Making ourselves small all the time. Well, I look at the past couple of months and how much I grew. Like, how much did I grow? How much did I grow in this quarter of a year? It's unbelievable the amount of growth that I've seen in my life, like the amount of healing that I've found. I've grown so much. So isn't it kind of cool that my physical body reflects that? Isn't it kind of amazing that I've been able to relax to the point of finding growth in every area of my life and feel really fine and good about that up until the point I stepped on that scale? So for me, I need to make a commitment to myself right now I don't know if I can make Dennis get rid of the scale because he actually uses it, but maybe I can live somewhere else. Like, does the scale have to be under our bed, you know, which is like where he normally keeps it? Maybe it could be in his gym, like where he bikes, like because that's what this relates to. Maybe I don't have to have it there because I know once you step on the scale, it's like harder to not continue doing that. And then for me, my commitment to not go back to that, and then to continue doing the practices that remind me that my body is sacred. I want to go back to this card for a moment. This is the moment to see your gorgeous body as the tremendous gift it is. This is the moment to see your gorgeous body as the tremendous gift it is. It is the moment to realize that there is no greater intoxication than just being fully in your body from head to soul. This is the call to remember the holiness of your flesh, the deep wisdom your body contains, and the temple you walk around in every day. Man, oh man. How can I just take a moment right now? So how amazing is it that I started this podcast sharing that I was very vulnerable and feeling very raw and open, and I was going to share about that. Something specific came my way today. And then I decided to pull a card. And I pulled a card that brought forward everything I needed to talk about right now. Everything I needed to talk about. And I'm guessing that I'm not alone. Just like tiny little guess that you guys listening to this right now, that you're also feeling some kind of shame maybe around your body. Maybe your body changed right now and you're sensing some shame, some judgment, some insecurity there. Perhaps you've also started thinking, going down that road of like, oh, I need to change, I need to diet, I need to lose weight, I need to get back to what was. Haven't we all decided that we're not going back, right? Didn't we all make that kind of collective decision? We are not going back to what was. That has to also include not going back to how you treated your body before, not going back to dieting, not going back to thinking that there is something wrong with you, that you aren't enough the way you are. This is like the ultimate piece of this puzzle, is allowing ourselves to embody the lesson and to embody the growth that we have seen in ourselves over the past couple of months. And if that growth is reflected in your physical body, how fucking amazing is that? How beautiful that we can grow inside and out. What abundance is coming your way right now, that we're able to actually have visible growth in so many areas of our lives, visible softness, right? I can really, like, if I look back to my fittest, you know, the harsh and sharp angles of my body when I was mega, 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 mega fit, and I spent so much time like fine-tuning my body with this kind of rigid sense, I also saw those harsh, sharp, rigid angles in my mind, right? In my life. Like, I was very tight, like knit, like held everything together, very controlling. And now it's like I can sense a softening in my heart. I can sense a softening of areas of my life, how I've put down control, right? How I'm taking deeper breaths. And it's pretty much a miracle that my body is reflecting that for me right now. Now, of course, and the little like details of like, will I sit on the couch eating chips every day for the rest of my life? Probably not, no. Probably not, you know. Will there be moments, you know, where I move more and eat less, and maybe I'll lose some weight, and maybe I'll gain some weight? Whatever. Those things are details that actually don't matter in the big scheme of things. It's like we've taken those tiny details that are just byproducts of how we feel, and we've made them the whole thing. So we think in our brains, if I stop eating the chips, I'll lose weight and everything will be perfect. But it's like, hey, the chips aren't the problem. The weight aren't the problem. Your body is not a problem. Your body was never a problem. The problem is society. The problem is our conditioning. The problem is in our fucking brains, right? So let's heal that. Let's really get into that space where we can heal that and soften into that and come back to the love that we already have for who we are. It's not learning to love ourselves again. It's like we've always loved ourselves. We've always been able to be in the body the same way children exist and reside in their bodies. Like, we still have that. It's just we have layers and layers and layers of conditioning telling us that we're not good enough. We got to get rid of that and return to that love that was always there. It's been there all along. It's there now. You can sense it in these moments and those practices that you have that remind you that your body is sacred. You can sense it and feel it. When you create, when you paint, when you make love, when you're on the yoga mat, when you're dancing, when you feel free, when you're in nature, when you're gardening, when you're doing that thing that's your thing, right? You're reminded that actually I love myself the way I am, and I have had that love all along. I'm just getting rid of all the things that were in the way. So it's my deepest wish right now that the next time you go down that spiral of thinking that you have to change something about your body, that it's not good enough the way it is, that you immediately turn to one of your resources and that you take moments in your day to undo some of that conditioning, right? To really go down the path of healing instead of going down the path of destroying or of harming, which is, for me, everything that dieting and this idea of changing who we are really is. Let's do things that serve us. Let's do things that nourish us, that fill us up. Let's keep growing, right? Let's not go back. Let's not go back. Let's collectively celebrate our bodies for what they are now, for what they are tomorrow, for what they were yesterday. Like, let's just celebrate and be in this place. I love my body. And then I feel shame, immediate shame again. We're not allowed to say that, right? We're not allowed to say that we love our bodies. We're not allowed to say that we think we're sexy. It's like, we're not allowed to say that, especially not when we've just gained 17 pounds. And I'm like looking down at my body right now, my boobs, my belly, my thighs. It's fucking amazing, this body. Holy shit. I love my body. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Do it now as you're listening to this. Just look at your body for a moment. Place your hands to whatever body part feels like it needs a little bit of love, and just give that love to yourself. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I will not try to change you. Thank you for growing with me, for holding space for all of this growth and learning, all these realizations and lessons, all the grief, all the gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's the end of this podcast. I love you guys. Maybe I'll start pulling a card at the beginning of every show. This was good. Take care of yourself. Take care of your hearts. Cherish yourself. And remember, your body is sacred. Wishing you a beautiful rest of the day. And I'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, be sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. You can find them on yogagirl.com, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you normally get your shows. Don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Thanks to the folks at Cadence 13 for their production work, and thanks to my sponsors. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I'll see you next week.